Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Blessings to all. Welcome to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential, and they can be found on the web at www.winbridge.org. Our guest tonight is Lynn Russell, and if you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guest, the toll-free number here is 888-627-6008. So, Bob, what's new and exciting?
Oh, nothing in particular. How about you?
Working. We have our retreat, our afterlife exploration retreat coming up in, I think, two more weeks, and it's just getting everybody so excited that the chatter over trying to get the work done kind of slows us down a bit, but it's really going to be very different than it has been in previous years, and it just gets us excited.
Yeah, well, this retreat's a little bit different. It's not a grief retreat per se. You know, it's an exploration retreat. But of course, you know, many people find it helpful to their grief in learning about ways that they can connect with not only their loved ones, but the way people can connect telepathically and. We're going to be talking about all sorts of things, such as remote viewing and doing demonstrations and electronic voice phenomena and spoon bending and evidence of an afterlife and mediumship.
And don't forget the really, really fun things like the bonfire and the outdoor sing-along and,
yeah, it's a nice
and the food.
Place.
Food is just so good.
Yeah, look forward to that weekend.
But we also have, and I just want to mention this because Melissa and I were going through some of the feedback from the people who are not able to join us, who took the time to write. And oddly, there were quite a few people who thought that it was too far to go to. So for people who are thinking that, I just want to let you know that we have people who are coming from really, really, really far away. And we've been doing this retreat at Guest House since 2009, and it always amazes me how far people will travel to get there. So we've got people coming from Hawaii, we have people coming from Canada, we have people coming from all over the place. So, you know, when we see somebody from New Jersey say it's too far, we got to giggle a bit.
Yeah. Well,
but it is easy to get to. Amtrak is there, all the trains go there, there's an international airport not far from there, and of course all the major highways are accessible.
Yeah, and there are still openings.
We have a few rooms left. Soon the rooms will be gone, and you'll have to stay in a hotel up the road and commute.
Which is still doable.
Yeah.
So there was a story, a sad story. Maybe our listeners either read it or heard it on the news. It was a plane crash in South Carolina, a private plane with a father and son aboard, crashed with a military, you know, fighter, and the father and son were killed. And I was reading about the details of it, and what I didn't know and I learned yesterday was that 4 days before the crash, the father of his son, who was the pilot, the father's brother and sister-in-law were murdered. 4 days before this, actually murdered by what they suspected their grandson.
Family member.
And, you know, and you hear things like that. Now, here's a family within a span of 4 days was, you know, completely decimated. And it makes you, you know, wonder. We're always talking about, you know, do we choose these lives? Was this predestined? Was this the result of planning, of soul planning? You know, or was this a just a series of random acts? It seems a little improbable to have four people dead in separate things all within 4 days of each other. But
only in two separate things.
Two separate things.
But I go along with the concept that we have our entrances and we have our exits, and when the universe provides us with such an entrance or an exit, that's what we're available to take advantage of. And should we meet with an exit before it's our time, then we experience what we know to be the near-death experiences. We inevitably meet someone on the other side that says, no, it's not your time, and turns you around and sends you back.
Would you say, well, all four of the people who perished in these the accident and the murder. So this exit point was predetermined?
Well, not necessarily the exit point itself being predetermined, but the fact that they had now completed whatever their purpose was for incarnating here in order to grow their soul. And so now any exit that would be put before them would be made available. Now, whether or not there are forces within the universe that assist with those available exit points, I don't know about that. But,
We have general outlines, so to speak, of
how long we need to be here.
It may not be set in stone that, on such and such a day and such
and
such
I don't
year,
think it can, know. Because we have free will.
Right.
So if we were meant to walk down a certain pathway and we have not yet gotten to that pathway, then crossing over is not an option yet, or if we do, we'll be sent back because we have not completed the journey for which we came here for.
Well, it's a common argument that I hear when people talk about their lives being predetermined, because if they argue, then how could there be free will, if your lives are predetermined? But you can coexist.
Right.
And, can you change the course? Well, of events. Well, so you might argue, maybe you could change to a certain degree. If that was an exit point, maybe you could change to a different type of exit, so to speak. But it's your feeling.
Well, you don't know what your exit is until you're exiting.
Right.
So, you really can't have control.
Well, your soul, when you decide to incarnate in the physical, there is this growth that you have to show by going into this specific physical life.
Right.
So, and you chose that life for a reason. It could be
because
one of hardship, it could be one of riches,
right.
You don't know. But can you change drastically, from your life? Let's say you chose to, you needed to empathize or learn about, being compassionate to the poor. And you incarnate as a poor person, as destitute and living in a hovel somewhere, and by somehow you buy a lotto ticket and you and you win $10 million. Well, there goes your plan, so to speak.
Well,
so, can that happen?
You experienced you did have the experience of being the homeless person, and now you're given a second opportunity to redeem yourself because now you've won the lotto and now you're in another position to come in and help somebody else.
So that winning the lotto is actually furthering the plan,
because
now you're able to do good with that money, and you've you know what it's like.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it's just.
And if you don't do good with the money, you're just going to stay here a lot longer.
Or come back repeatedly, in that life. Well, we're going to be talking about things like this. Specifically about descriptions that near-death experiences come back and tell us about what the afterlife is like. So stay with us. When we come back from the break, we're going to be talking with Lynn Kathleen Russell about her book. So we'll be back in a few.
Does consciousness survive death? Can technology be used to interact with the deceased? Can hearing from the dead heal the living? At the Windbridge Institute, we are working to answer these and similar questions. Through our studies with certified research mediums, we are examining psychic abilities and communication with the other side, offering insights into the limitless nature of consciousness and unlocking the possibilities of our bodies, minds, and spirits. Be a part of it. Become a Windbridge member today. Please visit www.windbridge.org to learn more.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you could find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
For those just tuning in, our guest tonight is Lynn Russell. Our sponsor is the Windbridge Institute for Applied Research and Human Potential, and they can be found on the web at www.windbridge.org. Bob?
And we're happy to have Lynn Kathleen Russell on the show for almost 30 years. Lynn was a family counselor in Calgary, Alberta. She became the primary researcher for Dr. Jeffrey Long's book, Evidence of the Afterlife, and she has researched over 2,500 cases of near-death experiences. She found consistent patterns among the experiences and realized that there's much we can all learn from those who have died and visited other realms. She shares these messages and her observations in her book, The Wonder of You, What the Near-Death Experience Tells You About Yourself. Lynn's website is her name, Lynn, L-Y-N-N, Kathleen with a K, Russell.com. Welcome to the show, Lynn.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And a pleasure to have you. And I noticed, you know, when we talk about the near-death experience researchers, they don't necessarily embark upon this field of study because of some personal experience. But I was intrigued in reading the beginning of your book where you had what you considered to be a life-changing experience in 1973, I believe, and it occurred while you were simply washing dishes. So can you tell us a little bit about the circumstances and the experience itself?
Yes, it was a wonderful experience. I was very curious about spirituality and had been doing some reading, but didn't know very much about it, to be honest, because my mother was an atheist and religion just wasn't done at my house. So I was reading books and trying to figure things out for myself. And so when I was washing dishes one day, I suddenly was no longer there. I was seeing the tree that was in our backyard. I was one with that tree. I was completely 100% one, not only with the tree, but with all forms of life that I could think of, whether it was birds or animals or whatever. I was became one with it. And that was just a marvel experience because I immediately thought, oh, that's cosmic consciousness. And so I put it aside and thought, that's it. That's, you know, that was very nice. Thank you very much. And then a few days later, I was washing fingerprints off the walls for my children. And suddenly, I was aware of an atom with the electrons and protons and the, you know, whatever. And then I saw sort of like from the micro to the macro universe, everything just expanded to galaxies and ultra. It just got bigger and bigger. And while I was having that, I was having feelings that there was an intelligence, that there was an order, that this wasn't all just an accident, that it had a reason. And also, I had a message that said my being was intricately connected with the operation of the universe. And I thought, that really bothered me. I didn't like that at all, because I thought that made me seem very strange. And so anyway, I didn't understand at all what I was experiencing. And then a few days after that, I had an experience where I was in the living room. I was standing in the middle of the room, and it felt like there was a presence there. And the presence was so much love. I've never felt that much love before. I was wrapped up in this huge blanket of love, Then I got a message, and the message said, this is where you came from, and this is where you will return. Hmm. And that was the end of them, but it was wonderful. I walked 3 feet off the ground for months.
Yeah, well, I can imagine. And it sure sounds like the universe was priming you for your future work, because what you described were things that the people that you were researching, the near-death experiencers, spoke about. So here you were, and you could certainly relate as you're reading the stories.
Yes.
You know, when you were doing the research for Jeffrey Long's book, I mean, you began to uncover what you described as buried treasures that people brought back after physically dying and being resuscitated. So at the very beginning of the research, I mean, were you convinced that the subjects you were studying were truly reporting these non-physical experiences, or was in the back of your mind did you question if what you were hearing and reading were real.
No, because I had already read quite a lot on near-death experience. Excuse me. So I didn't have a doubt that these people were telling. When I was doing research, after I had done maybe a couple of hundred, I once in a while would read one that I would question if it was legit or not. But primarily, no, I didn't consider that these people were not telling the truth.
Yeah. You know, when we look at some of the descriptions that the experiencers talk about of what the afterlife is like, I mean, we hear things, people describe beautiful gardens and vibrant colors and sounds and being able to see in all directions, and they could travel by thought. And were most of the near-death experiencers surprised by what they found? In other words, they weren't expecting that, I assume.
Yes, I think they were surprised by what. Very often they were surprised that they still were, you know, except the odd person. But most of them would think, oh, I'm still alive. And that was often a surprise. And then what they went to and experienced was also a surprise, except the odd person did expect to see a guide or a relative.
Yeah. Did the majority of the people want to stay?
I'm sorry, you're breaking up. I can't hear you.
Oh, we'll try to fix it. The question was whether or not the majority of the experiences wanted to stay in this other realm, as opposed to coming back.
Yes, very much so. They really did not want to come back at all. Very often they would come back for their children or the loved ones, but primarily, no, they did not want to come back. They just felt it was so beautiful there, and they just were covered with this magnificent love, and they didn't want to leave that, which I can't blame them.
But in most cases, it seems that the choice to come back was already made and not by them.
That's right. Yes, yeah. Because, and that was one of the things that I learned, was that we make like a contract before we come here of what we're going to try to accomplish. And so it's up to us. And then we choose our life. The major pieces of our life that, for example, our race, the city we're going to live in, our parents, what we look like, any disabilities we might carry, you know, the major things. And we would choose them to gear us towards the goal that we have set. And then but the thing is that we don't have to do that in one life. If we don't finish it, we can come back in another time. We can take 40 lives if we want.
Well, you know, what was interesting, I've read a lot of the history of the channel reports, you know, through the some of the great mediums over the years, and these reports are not a lot of them are not familiar, the public is not familiar with them. And what's interesting is that the descriptions of the afterlife are very, very similar to the things that you wrote about that the experiencers describe. So here it's coming from two different sources, you know,
resuscitated
people and the people that weren't. So I'm sure you've read some of those reports as well.
Yes. Yes, and I think it's wonderful. It's just verifying.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I was thrilled about was verification of the oneness. I saw that throughout the whole experience. I thought it was wonderful because they over and over would say that I was one with the light, or I was the light. And that was beautiful to me.
Yeah. And that light comes up so often in not only in near-death experiences, but in all of metaphysical practices. So the light that the experience described, let's talk a little bit about that. It's not a normal light. How do they describe it?
Well, they mostly describe it as being brighter than the sun. Some say it's brighter than 10 suns, and they are amazed that they can look into it and it doesn't hurt their eyes. They're very surprised about that because it's so bright that it would outshine the sun. That's one of the major, that and the luck that comes from it. They talk a great deal about overwhelming amount of love that is coming from the light towards them and wrapping itself around them. And one woman says it was like it caressed every cell of her body. So I thought that was a beautiful expression, way of expressing it, yeah.
So light and love were synonymous in a lot of the cases. You know, the you could use the words interchangeably.
Yes, so loving light is what I call it.
Yeah. What about, you know, there's somewhat of a misnomer among the general public that, you know, they think that everybody that has a near-death experience has a life review, and certainly not all. But
no.
If you had a guess, I mean, what percentage would you say of experiences actually have, you know, a life review?
Well, I am going to make a guess, and that is what it would be. It would probably be about 40%.
About 40, okay.
Yeah.
And in these reviews, and I think you do talk about it in the book, you know, The Wonder of You, but I think that people were... Well, I'll ask if you were surprised when you started hearing the reports that when people talk about this life review, that it wasn't a review by a judge, you know, sitting on a throne, but it was more self-review, a self-judgment. Did that surprise you?
That's beautiful. That is exactly right. That's what it was. I don't remember if I was surprised or not because it was a while ago that I did the research, but I do love that because then we don't have to worry or fear that it's right there. You know, it's us that's doing our own judgment.
Yeah, I'm sure you have some views on this, but whenever we get into discussions about the afterlife, a question that always comes up is, you know, what about those who do harm to others while they're in the physical world? Do they wind up in the same pleasant surroundings that are described by the majority of near-death experiences? I mean, does your research answer that question to any degree?
To a degree, yes, it does. We are soul, and that is our essence. We are basically soul, and so one who does wrong is also soul. Whether they behave incorrectly or not, they still are a soul in a body. And so they would go back, but it depends. Now, that's a difficult question. Let me explain. First of all, some people will experience their life review, and then they will have all the exact same feelings as the person that they wronged. So they will be inside that person's body experiencing it just as if it was them that had it happen to them. And then the pain also goes on, and the person who has done the wrong feels the pain of those who are connected to the person who was wronged. So let me use Hitler as an example. Certainly he would have felt every single one of the people that were in concentration camps and so forth, but he also would be feeling the pain that has reverberated down history even to today. So that's a great deal of pain that he's given and he's still feeling.
Right, and that's perhaps a greater pain than could be inflicted by somebody else. You know, what could be worse? You know, actually feeling what you did to others. And I guess the reverse is also true. Somebody that led a life of love and compassion feels great elation during the review.
Yes, absolutely. They're just thrilled. that, you know, yeah, they feel proud of themselves, but they also feel just joy that they were able to give.
Yeah. The what about fear? If I have, you know, certain fears while I'm in the physical, you know, cultural or, or you know, or religious and about death or what happens after death, does that affect the near-death experience that people has?
Absolutely. Yes, because one of the things that happens is that we, people who have a hell experience or a negative experience, usually that's because they believe that's what they should have or that what they deserve. And it's not necessarily true, you know, because, and then as soon as they say, you know, something positive, they're out of there immediately. So, and the other thing about hell experiences, why we don't believe that they're true, is that each one is so different from one another in comparison to the near-death experiences or those positive near-death experiences have the same elements over and over, whereas the evil ones don't.
Do from your experience, the experiencers come back, do they ever tell you that they saw their future?
Most of them that I read came back saying that they saw their own future. Some, the odd one did see the future of the world, but it was removed when they arrived. When they came back, it was removed, or they just didn't feel that they needed to tell. They wouldn't tell. Now, having said that, I have since read online people who have had future experiences during a near-death experience, but I didn't personally study them.
Right. The what about the nature of time? I mean, is it a common theme that of experiencers that they say that time doesn't exist in the other realm?
That's right. Yes, over and over and over, that comes up. Almost everyone is confused about, well, not confused, maybe it's us that's confused. They talk about time not existing because they will have thought that they were away for ages or a very short time, and when they come back, it has been the opposite, that they've been gone a very long time or else very short time. And, you know, so they felt opposite of what the reality was.
Yeah, it really is incredible sometimes, and people can, I know it's so hard to put into words, but experiences can write volumes about the experience, and maybe it lasted 20 seconds or less than a minute. It's really
Exactly. And they do. I mean, there's numerous books out there that have been written by people who experience, and it wasn't a very long experience, but it could still be very deep.
Right. The length of time that you were dead in the physical has no bearing on the depth of the experience.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. All right, we're going to we are talking with Lynn Kathleen Russell. The book is called The Wonder of You: What the Near Death Experience Tells You About Yourself. The website is lynnkathleenrussell.com. When we come back from the break, I'd like to, if you don't mind, I'd like to get into, you know, the subtitle of the book, you know, What the Near-Death Experience Tells You About Yourself. So maybe we could discuss a little bit about what we all can learn from reading about your book and learning about the experiences. So stay with us, and we'll be back in a few.
Does consciousness survive death? Can technology be used to interact with the deceased? Can hearing from the dead heal the living? At the Wind Bridge Institute, we are working to answer these and similar questions. Through our studies with certified research mediums, we are examining psychic abilities and communication with the other side, offering insights into the limitless nature of consciousness and unlocking the possibilities of our bodies, minds, and spirits. Be a part of it. Become a Wind Bridge member today. Please visit www.winbridge.org to learn more. Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is atransc.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you could find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
If you're just tuning in, our guest tonight is Lynn Russell. Our sponsor is the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research and Human Potential, and they can be found on the web at www.winbridge.org. Our Holidays Past raffle is up on the website now, waiting for your name to be entered. So let me quickly explain how the raffle works and why you need to enter now, even though the drawing is not until December 23rd. The five winners each receive a one-hour medium reading with Tracy Lee Nash, Dr. Neil Zapowski, Nancy Marlowe, Dustin Livers, or Kathy Towle, and they are chosen from a computer program that selects five numbers randomly from the pool of consecutive numbers assigned to each entry. So enter often, and have lots of different numbers. And a reminder, you only have two more weeks left to sign up for this. Have you ever tried to bend a spoon without using your own muscle and might, but instead using unseen energy? Have you called upon spirit to move objects in a room while you observe? These are a few of the scheduled workshop events set for our annual Afterlife Exploration Retreat in Chester, Connecticut, just this July 24th through 26th. Don't miss the chance to work directly with certified mediums Janet Nohavik and Joe Scheel, both educated at the Arthur Findlay College in England, And don't miss your chance to learn and experience many hands-on applications that will not only amaze you, but show you that we are certainly more than our physical bodies. It's easy to travel to by plane, train, or automobile, and the food is unbelievable. Just ask the people who keep coming back each year. And did I mention that all the rooms have private baths and air conditioning? And yes, we will have several sessions of spirit communication that are scheduled for the weekend. Our August webinar is now posted on our website event page, and registration is open. Life After Grief will be presented by grief recovery specialist and certified medium Doreen Malloy. Texas, Forever Family Foundation certified medium Lee Ashley presents Visitations and Validations, an evening of spirit communication on September 15th in Austin, Texas. And for our Kim Russo fans, Kim Russo is taking time off from her busy filming schedule of her two shows, The Haunting of and Psychic Intervention, on October 24th for a celestial evening of spirit communication at Long Island University CW Post Campus in Brookville, New York. Get your seats online on our website while you can. She will be joined by newly certified medium Joe Peretta. And December is not far away, so for those of you who wait for our annual Holidays Past events, we have two scheduled. Joanne Gerber will be in Natick, Massachusetts, and Joe Scheel and Janet Nohavik team up in Pompton Lakes, New Jersey. Both events are scheduled for December 12th. And finally, please, please, please help keep all of our programs going by visiting our website and clicking on the donation button. It's on every page. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that all other traditional not-for-profits enjoy. So please keep us in mind when you're ready to give a donation. And speaking of donations, you can also support our work without sending us any money. Go to iGive.com, name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice, and when you shop online, they will make a donation to us. And the same, if you shop on Amazon, use the Amazon link from our website at foreverfamilyfoundation.org to do your Amazon shopping, and everything that you buy at Amazon will result in a donation to Forever Family Foundation. And finally, if you are a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us via email at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. Back to you, Bob.
And we're talking with Lynn Kathleen Russell, the book, The Wonder of You, What the Near-Death Experience Tells You About Yourself. And Lynn's website is Lynn Kathleen with a K, Russell.com. Lynn, before the break, I mentioned one of the reasons that you wrote the book is for everybody to learn to experience the oneness and tell us and learn about ourselves. So in what respect can we learn something about ourselves by studying the near-death experiences of people?
Well, one of the things that I have come to realize is that the soul not only is, if we are not just a soul in a body, we are, the soul completely takes on every aspect of us so that it takes on our personality completely. And so it is our soul that is doing the actions, the behaviors, the driving, the work, the whatever, eating meals. And when we die, we take our personality and ego with us. And that's why we see things quite differently when we get over there. And it isn't until we've been over for a little while that we realize we are soul and not the person, that the individual person that has gone over. And so we see ourselves as different, completely different, while we're in this body.
And would you mind, Lynn, if we took a call from a listener?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Okay, great. We have Marietta from New York. She's on line 3.
Hi, Marietta.
Hi.
Hi. You're on with Lynn Russell. Do you have a question for Lynn?
Yeah, I recently lost my husband, and I'm, like, so lost. I don't know where I'm going or if I'm coming.
I'm sorry, I don't understand the question.
Well,
I don't know.
I
wanted to ask is, like, you said the soul takes on the personality.
Yes.
When they were here.
Yes, while we're here, the soul takes on the personality.
Yeah, and I lost my husband very tragically, unexpectedly, and I'm, like, so lost. Where it is, you know.
That's too bad.
Well, part of it is you're wondering where he is.
Yeah.
So. Well, he's at a very beautiful place. He really is. He's surrounded by love that we can't even imagine. It's beyond what we can imagine. And he's with you. He's with you. He's loved ones stay with the people that have that they've been with in life. They will. He's with you.
They stay every,
all the time. Yeah.
Oh God, that's so nice to hear.
Yes, he is. He's truthfully there, and you can talk to him if you want. He may not be able to answer you directly with language, but you'll get a response in some way that you haven't even expected.
I kind of thought so, because I was on the computer, a friend gave me a number, I called, I got through, and, you know, the birds are outside, and there was a, like, one specific bird that's, like, making such a noise, and I'm like, is that you? Is that you?
Your husband will reach you how he knows you will recognize it.
And Marietta, I mean, we grieve because we love, and the love doesn't end because he sheds his physical body. So if you stay aware and open to communication, you most likely will get it. So I know
I want to ask something. Visiting the gravesite, is he there or is he not there?
No, I don't believe that he is there. I think he's by your side right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, people are elated to shed the physical body and be free. So I think the last place they'd want to hang around is the gravesite. But I thank you so much for your call. I'm sorry for your loss, and I hope that you can have future communications and find some peace in that.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Okay, take care. Lynn, do you think that when we incarnate in the physical, that we start with, you know, why do we start with clean slates? I mean, if we come back because we have certain things that we need to learn, why do we have no memories of the previous life?
That's a good question. I think we don't have memories of our past because it would be way too confusing. We wouldn't be able to function in this world if we carried our past lives with us. It would just get very confusing and difficult. It isn't hard for the spirit to do that, but for us as personality, that's too hard. And so I think that's probably why we don't remember the reincarnated, you know, the past lives.
Okay. Fran, did you want to take another call?
If it's okay, we could take another call.
Okay.
All right. I have Sharon from New York on line 4.
Hi. How are you?
Okay. Sharon, did you have a question for Lynn?
No, I actually had my own experience that I just wanted to, you know, touch upon. Some years ago, I was in between awake and asleep, and I'm brought up Jewish, and as a matter of fact, my father was pretty religious. So, and, you know, none of it had anything to do with religion, but I was in between awake and asleep, And I found myself in the most, there are no adjectives to describe. I found myself in the most beautiful garden. And it was a meadow, actually. I was more of a spectator than a participant, but I was overlooking this garden, the greenest grass I had ever seen, and the flowers were just infused with love. Mm-hmm. I can't even, again, there are no adjectives to describe what I had experienced. Anyhow, about a year later, my mom passed away, and there was no rabbi, no book, nobody. To having had that experience to me was a direct preparation for my mom's passing.
Right.
So that's how, I didn't see anyone, but I didn't want to come back, and I didn't care. No offense, I love my family dearly, but I did not want to come back. I was screaming, I don't want to come back. I don't want to, I need to be here. It was pure consciousness, but I just didn't want to return. What a profound experience. I just feel that was a part of grace. You know, that was grace to me, pure grace.
Yes,
how wonderful. That's beautiful. What a lovely experience. And I know that many people who have been in the garden say that the flowers and the water respond to them in love. Did you find that?
No, I didn't. But I just, you know what? I saw the garden was so green. And just to, just because I know I don't want to take too much of your time, but my daughter was a little girl when my mom passed away, and I was talking to her about the experience, and she was a little girl, and she started talking to me about the afterlife, saying, "Mom, did you go into that theater with the red seats?" And she was explaining to me how there's a theater, and we pick our features, we pick our hair color, we pick our eye color, I mean, she was like, she just blew my mind, because she was just telling me how we pick all these, you know, features, how we look. And I was like, wow.
Oh, that's great. That's
so
wonderful.
Thanks for sharing, Sharon.
Yes.
We appreciate
you. Yes. Oh, you're quite welcome, and I enjoyed the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So Lynn, you know, some people, you know, you had your own experience. I mean, Sharon had her experience. So sometimes we catch glimpses of this alternative universe, these other realms, and we don't necessarily have to be near death. I mean, we just, for whatever reason, given access, so to speak, right?
Right, yes. And I think that it's growing. There are so many people coming back and telling such wonderful stories and affecting the whole world in a very positive way.
Right. And unfortunately, we're just about at the end of time. I want to tell our listeners, if they want to read an excellent book, not only about the near-death experience, but about things like choices we make and ultimate knowledge and our purpose and reincarnation and the light and the nature of time and messages. The book is called The Wonder of You, What the Near-Death Experience Tells You About Yourself. You can learn more on Lynn's website, LynnKathleenRussell.com. Lynn, thank you so much. We look forward to your next book, and I hope you can join us again.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been wonderful.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
We now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Pat Drance, Barry Whitehouse, Harvey Abramowitz, Joe, Andrea, Richard, Brian, Karen, Henry, Johnny, Andy, Tanya Cash, Bailey Mullen, Glenna Irwin, Lynn Austin, Michael Tim, Patty Potter, Eileen LaFada, Wendy Lippo, Doug Barry, Phil McPhee, Erica, Betty Kovach, Matt Mello, Lynn LeClaire, Renata Santarelli, Tim Donahue, Tom Donahue, Eddie Roll, Tracy Lee Nash, Jean Lash, Vicki Steffi, Rita Springer, David Haith, Ann Hutchinson, Julie Beischel, Miriam Pierschka, Jeanette Davies, Rachel Scandarian, Kimberly Saavedra, David Mello, Donna Mello, Judy Pernick, and Donald Peterson. Now let us as one consciousness give our energy of love, loving thought by praying like this. To love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time for us to say...
A loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.